good morning, church family. Let's give the Lord a hand this morning. Great to be with you today. I always enjoy loving here, coming here, and just lifting up the risen Jesus Christ together and celebrating him as a church family. Before I jump into the message this morning, I want to share some just overall great church family news. Wouldn't you rather hear good church family news than difficult family news? So we're going to share some great things going on. When we closed out 2023 as a church family, God did a provision of a God-sized movement of generosity as we finished out the year. And I want to share some of the things that that is leading us to do as a church family. And one of those things is to restore this thing in our church that we call the reserve fund that really carried Encounter in some of the difficult seasons of transition and is there for us. And it's allowed us to restore it and put it back into a healthy place that you want it to be at as a church family. But it also, that movement of generosity through all of you is causing us to look to areas where God wants us to expand in ministry. And one of the roles of our elder board is always to be asking God for his wisdom in where he wants our focus right now and where he's leading our focus to be in the future. And one of the fruits of that provision of generosity as we closed out the year was to give us the confidence to move forward with adding to our pastoral staff and bringing on an executive pastor. And so can we give God praise for that as a church family? So thankful for Pastor Danny. Just with us a few weeks, he's a leader of leaders, and God is using him to focus specifically also on our group's ministry and building disciples who build disciples, and so thankful for that. Another area that we are expanding in is just really increasing our budgets in all areas of ministry. As God is moving across the board, it's causing us to want to grow where God is growing us. And just like in your own personal home budgets, where your dollars end up going is really where your passion and your commitments are. And so as God is moving in many churches, I mean many areas of our church family, we are increasing the budget areas of all the ministries of our church. And that will be starting as we go into the summer into our new budget year. And so it's so cool just to see all the different places that God is just changing lives. And so we're thankful to follow along with that. Another commitment that we have as a church is to engage the world for Jesus Christ. Can I hear an amen to that? Amen. We are deeply passionate about it. Our mission as a church is to encounter God, encourage each other, and change the world. And one of the ways that we do that is we want to be making a local impact with a global heart. And as a church, we want to be raising up people that have a heart for the nations, reaching people here, near, and far. And we do that through all the ministries of our church. We do that through things like our IF gathering this coming Saturday. We're going to have 450 women. The event is sold out. And I just want to be asking you to be praying for God to move in the lives of women, just for a great encouragement in Christ for all who attend this coming Saturday. But we also partner with all kinds of local ministries. We also have about 18 global partner families that we are partnered with around the world who are making an impact for Jesus Christ. And we have this really incredible leader in our church. Her name is Shelley Birdwell, and I see her sitting back over there. Shelley, just stand for a moment back there. Shelley, you can sit down. I won't make you keep standing. But Shelley has been volunteering as our global outreach director for about 6 months now, really giving us half-time job status as a volunteer in the global outreach ministry. Has many moving parts and many touch points in lives. And as a result of your generosity, we just officially brought her on as a half-time paid staff member. And so we praise God for that in our church. Shelley has a passion to reach the world for Jesus Christ. And It shines from her, and we're just thankful that God has brought her to us, and I am thankful to have you on the team, Shelly. You know, in our global outreach ministry, we have a team that supports, a volunteer team that she leads to support that ministry, and we want to keep our global partners encouraged. We want to encourage them in relationship. We also want to be sending out additional short-term teams from our church family as we're all growing in our heart for the nations and making touch points for the Lord in partnership with some of our other global partners. We're also praying as a church that some of you in this very room will be sent out as future global partners for Encounter. And God may be stirring in some of you in that. And Shelly, part of her role is to shepherd all of those things. And so we're super thankful to have her officially on the Encounter team today. And just thankful how the Lord is working through her. And I want you all to know that all of our ministries continue through your faith, the faithfulness of your generosity. And I want to say thank you for how God is providing through you. And your giving allows you to be a part of all the things that God is doing throughout this church family. So praise him for that. So would you stand with me? And we're going to pray this morning. But before you bow your heads and close your eyes, will you just look up here and catch my eyes for a moment? I just want you to know I'm thankful for you. It is a complete honor to be one of your pastors. And you need to hear that from me. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? You know, before I pray, would you take some time and just invite the Lord to speak? Listen to him. Say, Jesus, talk to me. Spirit, I'm open. Holy Spirit, we desire nothing more than to have you speak and encourage our hearts right now through your living word. And we ask for that in the power of your name, Jesus. And Lord, we are just trusting you for mighty movements in the lives of people. We ask you to surround this place for the IF gathering coming this Saturday. We ask you to encourage women in the name of Jesus Christ, and to send them out, Lord, strengthened in you. We pray for gospel movement in the lives of people. Lord, we thank you for Shelly Birdwell, our global outreach director. We thank you for the ability to bring her on staff officially in a paid role. And we just thank you for that global outreach team. And we know you have so much for us in the future as we have a heart for the nations. Lord, we invite you to lead us. And we pray this in your name, Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Please be seated. Well, we launched a message series last Sunday called Relationship Rescue. And if you're joining us for the first time, this is a great Sunday to jump in with us in this little mini-series that we are doing. And I am asking all of you to memorize all of Psalm 144. Actually, I'm just kidding. Not the whole Psalm. I'm teasing. That's 15 verses. You could probably do it, but actually what I'm asking you to memorize is Psalm 144, verse 7, and it's not even all of the verse, it's just the beginning of the verse. I'm going to say it out loud, and then let's say it out loud together as a church family to help us to continue to learn it this morning. Reach down from heaven and rescue me. Rescue me from deep waters. Let's all do it together right now. Reach down from heaven and rescue me. Rescue me from deep waters. And last Sunday, hopefully if you were here, you got one of these little ropes. And actually, we have some great ushers walking around right now. And if you didn't get one of these, they're meant to be a reminder for us as we go through this series. Just raise your hand if you didn't get one. That we want Jesus Christ to be the lifeline of our hope, the guardian of all of our relationships, and we want to reach out to him and reach on to him. We have a limited supply left, so hopefully we'll get all of you today, but keep your hand high. These guys handing out these ropes are like tennis and volleyball stars, so they can take it. But we also began to look at Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12, that says this, "Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken." And we began to talk about how in that a lot of people see that verse only for marriage, but really what God is telling us is that the best relationships are made up of three or more, where there's you and me with Christ in the center and a community of people around us that are encouraging us in our walk with Christ as part of a church family together. And today, we are going to look at a very specific relationship, and it is the marriage relationship. And in the verses we're going to look at this morning, it's going to give us some key things that if you are a single who is following Jesus Christ and you want to one day be married, you're going to learn some great principles that God can use to continue to shape you for a future marriage relationship. Also, it's going to give you some principles that you want to be looking for in the type of person that you're looking for, someone who's growing in these things. And for those of you who are married today, you're going to learn some great principles that God wants to continue to move the needle in your marriage relationship that he's given us as a foundation for us. In fact, one of the things I'm going to encourage you to do after the message is over is sometime this week, plan a time to have a date together and talk about some of the things you learned today, not to blame one another, but to brainstorm together of how you could move the needle with the spirit of grace and strengthen your marriage together. And if you're single and don't plan on being married someday, you just don't think that's where God is leading you, this is one of those great messages where you get to pray the truth of God's word over your church family and where God just gives you some great counsel to have for some of your friends who may be married or thinking about it. Now, I have been married to my wife, Amy, for 25 years. And even as I say that, it's a little hard for me to believe she's sitting right over here today. We met on a blind date. We were set up by my sister. My sister had met Amy at Fresno State. By the time I met her, she was attending University of San Diego. And I picked her up from a wedding that she was in the wedding of. And talk about foreshadowing for your first date. And I still remember what she was wearing when she walked into the room. She was wearing blue jeans and she had this maroon University of San Diego sweatshirt on. And I took her for a cup of coffee at the San Clemente Pier. And we love to say to everybody it was the best cup of coffee we've ever had in our life. And here we are, 25 years later.
Praise God.
25 years. We have three children, all of who are graduating from something in the next month and a half. And so this is what I mean by that. Our twin daughters, Katie and Jessica, are graduating from college, and our son Josh is graduating from Ventura High School. And so we have the potential by the end of summer to be empty nesters and entering into a brand new season of our marriage dynamic together. And like all marriages in this world that are entering new seasons, it's always helpful to have a marriage tune-up in your life as you're facing new seasons. It's a little bit like when you have a vehicle, like a car, and you go in and you get a tune-up so that you don't have more expensive damage later, so you do things to maintain it now to protect you from greater cost later. And so there's, you know, usually you go in and get a 16-point inspection, and there's all these different things that you hope are going okay, and you work on the ones that are not. And even if you drive an EV, you still got to have tires, all right? You got to get some digital updates every once in a while, but you need tires that have the tread that are going to give you the traction to keep you on the road that you have yet to drive together. And in the same way in the marriage relationship, it takes two people to protect the vehicle of your marriage relationship from needing really costly repairs. And so this morning, let's look at some principles about the art of strengthening our marriage. And we're going to be in the Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verses 6 and 7. And this is a total curiosity question from your pastor this morning. How many of you have read something from the Song of Solomon in the last 3 months? Raise your hand. Just curious. Oh, hey, good number. I'm impressed. Last service, there was one, all right? So you guys are awesome. But this is sometimes called the Song of Songs, and the verses that we're reading this morning are a biblical love song of a wife being sung to her husband, and she's singing these words over her husband, which is why I call it the art of doing this. There's art in marriage, and in this case, the principles that we're going to learn today, there aren't 16 points, there are four, but they're foundational to keeping your marriage strong, and they're interchangeable for both a husband and a wife in the marriage relationship. So we're in Song of Solomon, chapter 8, starting in verse 6, and before I read the verse, years ago when I was giving a message on the book of Ruth, I told everybody to turn to chapter 3, verse 6, but I made a mistake. It's that part in the book of Ruth where she's laying at the feet of Boaz on the threshing floor, and it's just about before they, you know, get married shortly after. And as I announced it to the church with great confidence, I said, please turn to Ruth chapter 3, verse 6. And I said it completely on accident, and my family has never let me live it down. And so anytime I say a verse that has verse 6 in it, there's like some fear in me that I'm going to say it the wrong way. But Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 6. Let's get it right. So place me like a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm, for love is as strong as death. It's jealousy unyielding as the grave. It burns like a blazing fire, like a mighty flame. Many waters cannot quench love. Rivers cannot sweep it away. I once heard the story about a father who was talking to his young son, and this young son came to his dad. He says, Dad, is it true that in certain countries and cultures that there are arranged marriages, and a husband really doesn't know who his wife is until after he gets married? And this wise father turned to his young son, and he said, oh, son. That is true in every marriage. One of the principles God gives us from the Song of Songs is the art of strengthening your marriage with undivided affection. I'll say it again. Undivided affection. Look at how the passage begins. Place me, she sings to her husband, like a seal over your heart. Like a seal on your arm. And the seal that's being described would be this either metal or wood engraving that would have a family name or a family symbol on it that then would be pressed into wax or into clay. And it was a symbol of authority and ownership. And this verse is getting at the sacredness of the marriage relationship. That when something is sacred, you set it apart with great respect and great honor. And in this case, we're invited to set apart the marriage relationship so that our affections for one another are not unnecessarily divided by someone or something. And back then, they'd have these scrolls where something was written on it to be given to someone else, and they'd roll it up, and on the seam of the scroll, they would put that wax on there and press the seal into it. And only someone who also bore that seal was able to open that scroll. And so in this verse, the woman is saying to her husband that her husband belongs to her, and that she belongs to him. And she's asking for nothing less than undivided affection as a result. Now, I was watching some of you as you walked in, and so yes, your pastor was watching you today as you came in today. But some of you, you have wedding rings on. And you have these really cool things. And wedding rings are a seal. They're an outward symbol that one day in your life, you stood up in front of a group of witnesses friends and family who love you and who wanting to encourage you in your future marriage, but they were witnesses of the vows that these covenant promises that you were making before God and before one another. And rings are often made also of precious metal to remind us that marriage is neither cheap nor common, and yet, in fact, marriage often costs us dearly as we're called to sacrifice for our spouse. And rings also can remind us of God. They're made in a circle, so by definition, they are endless. And they're also to remind us, or can remind us, of God's endless love for us. And how in a marriage relationship, as we are growing in Christ, individually and together, we are more able to love and encourage our spouse by God growing us in the midst of that relationship. And I actually have a verse that's inscribed on the inside of my ring, and I would tell you what it is, but it's like the best kept family secret out there, so I'm not going to tell you. You want to know what it is? No, I'm not going to tell you. You'll have to ask me afterwards. So, but one of the things that I have, you're dying out there right now, aren't you? Yeah, maybe later in the message. But, you know, one of the things I've been a big proponent of in marriage, whenever I do a marriage message, and, you know, what this seal that's being talked about, it's this outward thing. And so we want to show our commitment to each other, our affection to each other, both outwardly through our actions and also verbally through our words. And one of the things I'm a big proponent of in marriage is what I like to call honor bombs. It's a John Field term. I don't know where I coined it along the way, but this is basically an honor bomb in the marriage relationship. It's where you want to do it privately sometimes to your spouse. You also want to do it publicly in front of others, where you have a circle of people around you and your spouse is there, and you take some sort of great compliment and you just lob it out there in front of everyone. The more awkward the possible, the better, so that as it lands in front of everybody, it just explodes your affection and your love to your spouse. And I will tell the parents, the people who are married in the room that have children, your children need to hear you giving honor bombs to your spouse in front of them. Nothing gives a family more security than to hear parents loving on each other in front of their children. You know, I have my wife, Amy, sitting over here today. You know, we basically met the day after I had made the decision to leave California at a really large church I was a youth pastor at, to move to Hawaii to begin at a very small new church that had like 7 students. And when God brought our lives together, Amy was at a critical moment in her life where God placed me in her life. And then I was at a critical moment in my life where he placed her in my life as well. And I'll tell you, like, my life lit up when she walked into my life. And I'll tell you, every Sunday morning, and hun, I want you to know this, like, I am never complete until you walk in this room. She doesn't get here at the same time I do. I get here early on Sunday mornings. But the room literally gets brighter for me when Amy walks in the room. And that happens wherever she is in my life. And I'm proud of her. She has this gift. She has this contagious joy. She somehow, just anybody, all kinds of people, she can welcome them into her life, welcome them into our home. But even more importantly, she welcomes them into faith. And I learn from that all the time. And I'm always learning from you, Amy. And I love you.
And she has endurance.
Amen. A good honor bomb is actually awkward to the other people around you. And spouses need to hear honor bombs. And one of the things I sometimes hear from people is, well, I'm not really a person who's good with words, or I'm not really good with compliments. And it can happen for a husband or a wife. And what I always say in response is this: if you're not a person of many words or many compliments, then when you give a good honor bomb, it'll be all the more powerful. because they're not used to hearing it. And so it's something that's so important in our relationships. And so with so many things competing for our affection, we want to be always have an undivided affection for one another in this. And the point of undivided affection in your bond is that your bond is your seal. So you wear these things so that other people can see it, that they belong to you. You speak these things so that everybody around you knows that they belong to you and that you love them. And so if you're married, how might God strengthen your affection for your spouse publicly and privately from your side of the equation in this season of your life? Another principle is the art of strengthening your marriage with intentional commitment. This biblical love song continues and says, "Place me like a seal over your heart," she sings, "like a seal on your arm, for love is as strong as death." Now, when you're talking about marriage, that sounds a little bit strange at first, right? Where is this biblical poet going right here? Love is like death? It doesn't sound very encouraging at first, but the interesting thing is, I've seen that verse on the front of wedding programs all over the place. People use it all the time. And when you really think about what God is saying, it is so profound. Because death is the only force on earth that never loses. It relentlessly pursues its object and always attains it. And in marriage, we are called to sacrifice for one another, to die to ourselves for our spouse. And think about it, death is unyielding, it's uncompromising. And so we're being invited to have an unyielding, uncompromising commitment for one another. And when you live that out in marriage, this is the crazy thing about commitment. Even though it's a commitment that you have made, you have to always invest in it along the way. In small ways that have great fruit in the long haul. Discovering new ways to express it in the face of new challenges. Because there are dry spells and difficult seasons in every marriage. I'll say that again. There are dry spells and difficult seasons in every marriage. Sometimes it's simply the stress and the strain of everyday life. Sometimes it's more prolonged and even more difficult, maybe because of an illness or because of a family dynamic or a parenting issue or a work challenge. And so it takes intentional commitment to nurture your affection, especially during the tough seasons. I was thinking back to 25 years of marriage and some of the things that we've been intentional about that have helped us in our marriage, things that we've had to always restore and renew in each new season, each new dynamic of life. And one of those things is having something shared that we love doing together, and it's the simplest thing on the face of the planet. We love walking together. It's so simple. We don't do it all the time, but when we do it, we just get to decompress from everything that's going on around us. When we were first married and we had the twins, we had this double running stroller. That thing was the coolest thing in the world. It allowed us to go running together and to walk together and to talk together. It was just amazing. We were living in Oregon at the time, so it was always when it wasn't raining. But it was great to have it. Another thing that has just been an intentional commitment for us is we try to at least once a year get away together without our children. And the younger your kids are, the more challenging and creative you have to be to accomplish this. And when you have the babies, it takes a little while before you can do it again. But if you're careful and you watch and you're intentional, you can do this with some intentionality and creativity to guard your relationship together. Another thing that we have always done is just date each other. We've had to renew this in each season of our marriage. When we were first married, we lived in Hawaii. And we would go on these amazing dates to some of the most expensive hotels in Hawaii. We didn't stay there overnight because we couldn't afford it. But what we did do was enjoy them, because a lot of the hotels in Hawaii are public spaces. All the beaches are public. There's this one hotel called the Kahala, and they had dolphins in this swimming pool. It was amazing. And we just go to the Kahala and watch the dolphins, and then we'd go to Taco Bell for a cheap dinner. It was great. It was a great dinner. On my first date with Amy, she brought a coupon that was 2-for-1 to the restaurant we went to, and I thought to myself, this is a pastor's wife. I'm telling you. Right there. Now, the funny thing about living out an intentional commitment is, even though it's a commitment, you have to invest in it. And some of you who really like stocks, you'll appreciate this analogy. And the analogy is kind of boring, but it's so true about sometimes how we invest in marriage over the long haul. Is in stock purchasing sometimes, and I'm not a finance person, but there's this stock investment strategy called a DRIP, D-R-I-P. It stands for Dividend Reinvestment Program, where over a long period of time, you slowly buy a certain stock of a company that pays out dividends quarterly, and when it pays out a dividend, it just reinvests in itself, and you end up with more stock paying out more dividends. And you really don't care if the stock is high or if it's low, because what you really care about are the dividends that are growing over time, and it's paying out over the time. And in marriage, you know, I was thinking about this, in stocks, there's these certain companies called dividend aristocrats. And what it means is, it's a special group of companies that has increased their dividend payout consecutively for every year for the last 25 years. And so they're great for these DRIP programs. And I was thinking about our marriage. We've been married 25 years now, so we're like a marriage aristocrat at this point. So this is an exciting new season for us. And I know in this room, we got some 40 years and 50 years and 60 years and possibly even some 70s out there, which is so exciting. But in marriage, it's like investing in one of these dividend reinvestment programs, because you want to do all these little things along the way that are intentional investments that pay out little dividends in the moment that are building value for the long haul. And you don't care, because sometimes it's a high moment and life is good. And other times it's a low moment and life is hard, but you're being intentional about your commitment by doing these little things along the way which build great value. So how is your investment strategy going right now for your marriage, and how might it be strengthened? Now, what would be one step to do that? Are you dating each other occasionally? Have you gotten away, just the two of you? Do you have an activity in the midst of all the wonderful things that you each love to do that's a shared activity, even if it's the simplest thing in the world, like enjoying frozen yogurt or whatever it may be? Another powerful principle in the art of strengthening your marriage is with guarded hearts. And this is so important, yet so clear in this passage. Place me like a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm. For love is as strong as death. It's jealousy, unyielding as the grave. This is fascinating. The Bible says there are two relationships where jealousy is good. Two healthy, positive domains for jealousy. God is allowed to be jealous for his people and the hearts of his people, and husbands and wives are allowed to be jealous for one another. In fact, I'll go a step further. In this world, we have to be. Because so many things are attacking our hearts, and there are intruders and intrusions that threaten to come between husbands and wives. Work can do that. Children, as wonderful as they are, can do that sometimes. A third party, an addiction, any of those things. Marriage partners need to be jealous for one another's affection in a healthy way, where we refuse to listen, you know, we refuse to allow anyone or anything to come between us, and we step in to protect that affection. So think about this. Kids are incredible for building great families. We love children. We have three of them, and they're all amazing. We're so thankful for them. But there's this crazy thing. Kids are wonderful for building great families, But when you're married, you also have to be intentional about building a great marriage while you're also building a great family. Amen. And part of the beauty of it is, as you're investing in your marriage, you actually become better parents because you're giving more of who the Lord is as you're doing that for one another. And it takes creativity and intentionality. And never believe the lie that you can't have that time together. Never believe that. There's always a way. Always a way. Guard your marriage in healthy ways because your spouse is worth guarding your heart for. Amen. I'm just going to let that one sink in a little bit. Your spouse is worth you guarding your heart for. And for you single folks out there who are dating someone, guard your heart for your future spouse. And if you're dating someone right now and they're not guarding your heart some way, I'll tell you this. If they don't guard your heart while you're dating them, they will not magically guard your heart once you're married. Because once you get married, there's just additional challenges, additional levels of complexity. And so be and look for someone who guards your heart now at all costs. Now, Encounter, I want you to see one of the biblical ironies of this verse, and it's beautiful, it's powerful. Look at verse 6 again. For love is as strong as death, its jealousy unyielding as the grave. There's this irony, because this is an Old Testament book looking forward to the Messiah coming, Jesus coming, and there's this irony in love being as strong as death and unyielding as the grave, and it's pointing to Jesus, who was yet to come, because yes, the grave is unyielding and death is strong, but Christ's love is more powerful than the grave. We just celebrated that at Easter. In fact, we just reminded ourselves of that through sharing in communion together as a church family. Do you remember where Peter is in the Garden of Gethsemane with Jesus? Jesus is about to be arrested, and the temple guard comes in, and Peter, trying to defend his Savior, hacks off the ear of that temple guard, and Jesus stops Peter. Of all things, he stops him. And I love what Peter says, what Jesus says to Peter. Matthew 26, verse 53 says, "Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, Peter, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels?" Jesus goes, "Peter, what are you doing? Don't you know who I am? If I wanted to call my Father and ask him to send legions of angels to wipe these guys out, I certainly could." And next, Jesus is arrested and he's sentenced to death on the cross. And they beat him and they whip him and they mock him. And they do all kinds of things against him. And so here's the most powerful being that could have called down legions of angels against everyone. And now he's allowing people to blindfold him, mock him, spit on him, slap him in the face. And as they're doing all that, they're yelling out, "Well, if you really are the Son of God, who just hit you?" You know, and they're mocking him. And to have all authority and all power, and yet to love us that much, all the way to the cross. And they crucify him. And 3 days later, he rose again. Death could not hold him down. The grave yielded to Jesus. Jesus beat the grave. Death was strong, but Jesus was stronger. And think about this. Think about how powerful death is for a moment, because not even mountains can defy death. Over time, they become pebbles as erosion happens. Not even the sun or the stars can defy death. Eventually, they will burn out. But Jesus Christ was swallowed by death, and then he exploded into life on the third day. Jesus Christ didn't just defy death. He defeated death. The grave yielded to Jesus. And so what that means, Encounter family, is all power and dominion are in his hands. It's in his hands. And what Jesus invites us to do is invite him into our life And as we begin to be transformed over time through him, then he invites us to take him into all the world, into all of our other relationships, and to share the amazing, life-changing power and our need for a Savior because of our sin and brokenness. And that love and power of Jesus is what allows two people to say that three are more powerful than anything else, where it's you and me with Jesus in the middle and a whole community of people around us along with that as we follow Jesus together. The final principle, the art of strengthening your marriage, is with rekindled love. And this is one of my favorite parts. God's word says this: for love is as strong as death, its jealousy unyielding as the grave. It burns like a blazing fire, like a mighty flame. Many waters cannot quench love. Rivers cannot sweep it away. Strong fires that keep a home warm always need more kindling and more fuel to continue to burn bright to keep the house warm. Amen. And the natural tendency of a fire is to burn down. And so then what you have to do is you have to stir the coal a little bit. You got to find some hot embers. And then you start small. And you begin to add a little kindling that burns easily. And once the fire gets started a little bit better, then you add some more fuel, some bigger fuel to the fire so that it burns bright. And so you start with small things, and then you add the things that burn easiest, and then you go to bigger things. And it is so true in the marriage relationship. There are so many things that douse the fire in a marriage relationship. And so sometimes, especially after a really difficult season, you have to start small, especially if you've been at it with each other. You got to start really small. Sometimes it's just talking again. And also, usually it means starting small is listening again. And sometimes the best romance after the hardest seasons is just holding a hand or sitting close to each other. And you start small. And as the fire starts to burn brighter, you add fuel to the fire more and more. And the Bible is saying, don't ever let the flame burn out. Amen. The love between a husband and wife, the biblical poet says, ought to burn bright. And sometimes it sizzles, and sometimes it smolders, but on a regular basis, it ought to burn bright. And I know I'm sitting up here, we're in a worship service and everything, but I want you to know, God is very pro-romance. He is. He created it. He wrote this beautiful book of the Bible called the Song of Solomon that sings about it. And it's the Holy Spirit speaking over us into the marriage relationship. And so spouses, what can you do to stoke the flames of romance in your relationship? And it only takes one person to ignite a spark. But it does actually take two then for the other person to receive it. And if you ever want to do a deeper dive into the book of Song of Solomon, it's pretty amazing. Because what you see is that in the book of Song of Solomon, as it talks about marriage, is that physical intimacy and delight is set up by three things: tender words, affectionate glances, and careful planning. It's all through the Song of Solomon. Physical intimacy and delight in the marriage relationship is set up by tender words, affectionate glances, and careful planning. It's why if you happen to be married today, I hope that you'll have a date sometime soon. Get it on the calendar and talk about these four principles. You can go to encounterlife.org, go to the sermon page. The notes are downloadable on your phone. Super easy. And just talk about them, about how can you move the needle. Don't blame each other. Come with a spirit of grace and own it on your side and say, how might we move the needle in these areas? Which is why verse 7 adds, many waters cannot quench love. Rivers cannot sweep it away. It means that when the occasional flood or hurricane happens, it doesn't douse the fire completely. And so you can go through the deep waters of life where sometimes, and this happens in marriage, everything feels like it's coming against you, and you have to intentionally swim against the tide to keep the fire strong and rekindle your love. And so the art of strengthening your marriage is found through these four powerful principles. Undivided affection that we show as a seal, like a ring. It's done through our actions, and it's also done through our words. And an occasional honor bomb really, really helps. They take practice sometimes. It's also done through intentional commitment, where you invest in really small ways. Sometimes they're really unromantic, but you invest in them over time, creating little dividends that build the long haul of value for when the storms come. And then you guard your heart with God's help. And this is where you listen to the Spirit and you listen to each other. And when your spouse is uncomfortable with something, you listen. That's the Spirit. And you guard one another's hearts together. And finally, you rekindle your love. Doesn't matter how low the embers are right now. Small steps to rekindle the fire. And in the midst of it all, always, 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 all of this happens with a spirit of patience and grace that reflects how Jesus loves us, because he's so patient with us. Oh my word, he's so patient with us. And his grace is freely given. And he gave it all for us. And he's the model for us. Would you bow your heads? Jesus, thank you for being the great picture of how a husband and wife love each other in the way that you love each of us. Thank you for your undivided affection that took you all the way to the cross and out of the grave for us. Thank you for the words you speak over each one of us, Lord, every day. Your affirmation and your word bombs, because you love us so much. And thank you for your commitment that has been sealed with the Holy Spirit and is eternal. Thank you that you guard our hearts and our life in you. And thank you, even sometimes when we don't feel the fire in our own walk with you, Lord, that you rekindle it. You meet us in the small ways and you call us by name. And Lord, we lift up the marriages of encounter, confessing that it's difficult. There's so many challenges, Lord. We feel defeated so often. We just acknowledge it, God. It's hard sometimes. And yet, Lord, we ask you to help us to move the needle. And if you're married today, would you just ask the Lord to speak? And say, Lord, how might my affection be undivided? What are the words I need for my spouse? Even small ones. And Lord, how might I be intentional with my commitment to invest in the little ways along the way, not knowing the great dividends in the end? And Lord, show me where my heart is not guarded and bring me to freedom. And Lord, help me to rekindle the love in little ways, to find ways to spark, even if I don't feel it right now. Help me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the wisdom and the life of your word. We pray for your grace and your power upon the marriages of encounter. We love you, Jesus. Amen.